Greetings and welcome to the Talkin' Reggae Podcast. As always, I am Jay of Street Level Uprising. I've got two very special guests with me on this episode of Talkin' Reggae because they've got a single out that they worked on together. Please welcome Isaiah Taimani and my good friend Azado. How are you, fellas?
Doing great. Thank you, Brother Jay. Thank you for having us today.
Yeah, doing well over here in Cali. Usually it's sunny. We got a little bit of rain, but we definitely need it. So just trying to take advantage of it and, you know, stay in and slow down a bit.
Yeah, we're spread out across three time zones today. So that's kind of cool. It's like some of y'all are just getting up, some of you are in the middle of the day. And here I am, you know, evening. The work is done for the day. And, you know, it's time to kick back for me. So you guys got a new single out that I really dig. It's called Give Thanks. Tell me, well, first I got to start with you, Isaiah, because you've never been on Talkin' Reggae before. So I gotta start the same place with you that I do with everyone, which is, man, tell me your first memories of hearing reggae music and how it impacted you.
So first of all, I'm a Tongan American out here in the Bay Area, and you know, grew up as a son of a preacher, man. So just growing up, you know, the church I grew up was really rich in just our relationship with music. You know, it was I learned much later in life, like, this is something that not everyone had, but, you know, growing up, everybody sung. You know, if you went to church, it was kind of understood that, you know, the men and you know, the men had these certain parts, tenors, bass, and then the rest of the woman, you know, would sing alto and soprano, these other parts, but would never use like music sheets or anything like that. So just growing up, that was just something that I just inherited, just being a part of my Tongan community. But when it came to my relationship with music outside of the church, you know, it was pretty conservative. So anything outside of like gospel or traditional music was something that you had to kind of do in secret. And I'll never forget one of my cousins just, you know, pulling up to the crib, and, you know, he pulled out this Bob Marley cassette tape. And I think he was watching how much he loved it and how secretive. It's like he was smuggling, you know, this music. And the first reggae song I remember was Buffalo Soldier. And I think so much more than even the song, I watched him enjoy kind of like this almost forbidden fruit, you know. And as a child, you know, who was very, very, I would say, so much of my upbringing I give thanks for, but I can look back and now and see how my parents sheltered me from anything that was considered secular or worldly. And so Bob Marley and reggae music, Lucky Dubé, these were the artists and the songs that my uncles, who didn't go to church, whenever they, you know, they would come over for a barbecue, you know, they were bumping UB40, Bob Marley, and Lucky Dubé. And I was just always like fascinated with this world that I felt was a little bit forbidden for me. And it was just crazy because I would have these conversations with my uncle, who was the first person that really challenged me, like, man, who gets to say, you know, what is worldly or what is sacred? Who gets to say that? Look at Bob Marley singing One Love, you know, let's get together, give thanks and praise to the Lord. You know, these are spiritual songs. And even as a child, I think that was the first time that I was like, wait, this reggae music is not necessarily what my parents are constantly saying, like, is worldly music. You know, there's a very, very distinct difference about this kind of music that feels good, that my uncles who don't go to church are vibing with, but at the same time, there's spiritual elements. So I think initially that was my fascination with reggae music, because it was something that's so clearly like, we didn't play in the house. We played in the backyard, though, you know, on my uncle's radio. So I think I've always just been really fascinated with the genre that my people, specifically Tongan people, it was just a part of our culture, you know, all things reggae. And there's something about, I think, this music that continues to remind me of that time in my life. It connects me to, I think, a lot of my my family, who growing up, I've always felt some kind of distance. And it's so fascinating to say, but I felt distance because of what I was brought up with spiritually. So, you know, even when I was in my mother's womb, my dad prayed for a son that would, you know, that would serve God with his musical gifts. And so I like to remind my pops, especially when I'm in trouble, like, I'm the answer to your prayer, you know. But yeah, man, it's been a beautiful journey. You know, music has always been a part of my life. It's been the language. It's been the vehicle for me to be able to process my feelings, my faith, my thoughts, my fears, my doubts, in ways that I think oftentimes, you know, words or intellect can't. And my journey has been being able to find people who can help me on my travels. And Azato, almost 20 years ago, when we met, it was like this instant connection, because we both were just huge, huge fans of this genre. And I think over the last 20 years, we've both just been unpacking why this sound, why this genre, why this message means so much to us, because it's never been something that I think the church can own or the world can own. It belongs to everyone. And so both of us as men of faith are constantly trying to find out, like, what does it look like to be able to spread love in a way that everyone can access it, whether you grew up the way that we did or you didn't. And so I love this genre, because if you pay attention, it addresses life, all things life, love, peace, injustice, you know, heartbreak. I mean, there's so many different ways that this specific genre, I think, has been able to speak to every part of our life. But yeah, man, I love this tune. You know, that definitely describes my relationship. You know, it's I don't even remember who wrote the song, but the song is, "I don't like reggae, I love it." Y'all know, yeah. Have you heard that song?
Yeah.
So like, I love just like, even just greedy people be like, "Man, like, I don't like reggae." And they're like, "What?" And I'm like, "Cause I love it." So yeah, man, that's a little bit of my relationship with reggae music.
Azato, so how did you and Isaiah meet? And what were your first impressions of him when you met?
You know what? We met, man, it's longer than 20 years, probably closer to 25 years ago. And so it was with a nonprofit that I actually still help out with called Young Life. And then he was working with students in the Bay Area. And so we ended up showing up at a camp together. And so I had the neighborhood that I was coming from and bringing students was predominantly, you know, Black, Latino, and Polynesian. And then they're coming with Polynesian kids from the Bay. So automatically we had a connection, the island Polynesian connection. And then, we just started rapping and hit it off on every level, whether it's, you know, music, life experience, you know, faith. And yeah, that just started, just an incredible friendship over the past 25 years. And music has always been, you know, intersect, in that relationship. So it's been a really fun journey with Sia.
Did you two start making music together pretty quick after meeting, or was that something that happened after some time?
Well, not recorded music. We definitely, music was a part of our friendship from day one, and we've performed a lot together all over, from the islands to Cali to all over the place together over the years. But this is actually our first recording together. So that's a long time coming, really, if it's over 20 years. And then but it's not gonna be the last, because we got some other even two more that we've already laid down that are coming after this. So yeah. Actually, three more.
I mean, yeah, we're just getting started.
So talk me through Give Thanks, man. This is a fun tune. I really dig I dig the rhythm that you got going on for it. It's, you know, Azada, we've talked before, man, you know how I am. I like to hear things that are unique, that we're all using the same tones and the same words, right? None of us started a new language. None of us came up with a new scale for music. It is what it is. We're all dealing with the same stuff, but you know that there's flavors that you can put in that separate a little bit from what's going on, that unique flavor. I dig this track because of its unique flavor. Tell me about how it came together. How did this thing come together?
So I've been working with a producer from Nigeria. His name is Chris Tamik. And just been a huge fan over the years of Afrobeats, and been seeing like this genre really start to make its way to my community and just, you know, the folks that that I collaborate and work with over here in the Bay Area. Azatu and I have been friends for years, and for the last few years, he's kind of made like an annual trip here to California, to invest in just our friendship, actually, which has been something that I would say, even though we haven't written, or created, or collaborated on a tune together, this was the first time, that it just happened naturally. And we finally got to a place where we're like, man, we prioritize so many other things in our life, but as creatives, even in a stage of life, what if we put that same kind of intentionality to a project, to our craft, to our work, to the message? And so we wanted just to, this was more of an exercise. We just wanted to, you know, hey, let's just, all right, I got some music from producer Chris Tamik. Let's listen to some of these rhythms and see what connects with us, what vibes with us. So the process was pretty organic. We went up to my rooftop and we took my little speaker and just started writing. You know, we just started, you know, we had the phones up, and this was kind of how it all happened. And it was really beautiful. You know, he would come up with the bar, even just in stride, just being give thanks now, you know, so many ideas that, you know, you were just throwing stuff, spitballing even, you know, and we're not entirely sure what's going to land. But as soon as he said that, I was like, okay, that's totally a different approach. Like, I think oftentimes when I write, I can be a little bit in my head feeling like there needs to be depth. There needs to be like, you know, this level of like, I don't know, smart bars, if you know what I'm trying to say. But I think I really appreciated like the simplicity that Azato was saying, no, like, let's really, really think of, you know, words, not just as information, but as rhythm. So we just started really thinking through like so much more than having these complex, you know, saying, how do we say thank you in a different way from all the, you know, even mentioning Bob Marley's "Give Thanks and Praise the Lord." How do we write a song about gratitude that is different, that is new, that's us? So just him saying, give thanks. So I was like, I like that. That's dope. Let's write it down. And then, you know, like we started just processing. And I think the thing that we really wanted to emphasize is that oftentimes gratitude is something that is a response to success. It's a response to when things go our way. It's a response to happy times. It's a response when, you know, when job provides. And we're like, you know what? What if we just really went the other way? You know, what if we really, really talked about gratitude as a spiritual discipline for when things don't go our way? Even when your plans fall through, even when you're sad and blue. You know, and that became kind of the content of the song, the heart, as simple and as like, it's a 3-minute, you know, tune that, you know, you can be able to, you know, move to. But if you're paying attention to the lyrics of this tune, like, we really tried to do our best to just talk about like, okay, what are the times that we don't want to give thanks? And let's give thanks for that. Because at the end of the day, both Azato and I, we were actually processing some grief when we were together. And so we were able to, in a sense, kind of use this song as medicine, as therapy, to be able to say, hey, not neglecting our issues, our problems, or our, you know, the challenges that come with marriage or children, or even trying to have children, which was where my wife and I have been over the last couple of years. You know, how do we really talk about how gratitude has given us the resilience to be able to still rejoice and give thanks for every day, you know? So both of us, again, as men of faith, you know, and also in a stage where we're like, man, we have so many young ones under our care. How do we be able to talk about this thing that doesn't sound corny, that doesn't sound like, oh yeah, that's really cute? How do we talk about like gratitude as actually like a superpower? Like this thing, the secret of being content, you know, how do we talk? How do we explore gratitude in a way that somebody will listen to and be like, damn, I got so much gratitude, and be able to like, even though that is a vulnerable thing to say, as vulnerable as it is to say, I need help. How do we say, thank you. Thank you. I didn't get here by myself. I had a little help. And oftentimes we wake up in our morning, you know, it's like, it's so easy to be able to think about the to-do list. What do I got to do today? Think about all the stress and worries that life brings. Like, what if we, you know, start, whoa, I made it. What do we started with? I woke up this morning. I woke up, heart stop. I woke up this morning. I have another day to be able to try again, to be able to live again, you know? And so, this song became, you know, very, very natural, because I think as soon as both of us started tapping into like some of the real, real stuff that we're like battling through, just as homies, as friends, as tocos, as brothers, it was very healing. It was very healing to be able to say, give thanks. Like, I'm here today because of every door that closed, you know? We're all here because not just the things that we prayed for, the answered prayers. We're also here because the unanswered prayers, you know, like every door that closed in my life brought me to this moment. And I can't help but just think like, wow, I'm so grateful I didn't get everything I wanted, you know? So it's just an opportunity for us to even talk about gratitude. You know, what does it look like for us to practice this discipline, not just when we feel like it, but especially on those days that I'm like, man, I don't even want to wake up today. Azato, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you covered a lot, but I would say it was all beautiful. And I think for me, I think, you know, I've had the opportunity to travel a lot, and a lot of it has been with music. This summer, I was in Africa for the first time, you know, in Malawi and Tanzania. And I think just being in, especially in the rural areas and the villages where people have, you know, by Western standards, nothing, it's hand to mouth, you know, you got to go to the well to pump water. You got to, you know, if you don't farm, you don't eat, you know, if you don't work, you don't, you know, there's no refrigeration, no electricity. And I think for me is like just seeing the joy was just incredible. And I think often, you know, times that's missing in the Western world, that, you know, is so caught up with stuff, you know. And I think joy, what I really saw, like the recipe for joy when I was there, was really two things: was gratitude and hospitality. And if we have one mango and we have three people there, we all eating, you know, we have whatever it is, you know, we it's like the sense of hospitality, you know. And it's real similar to our island cultures too, you know, in Hawaii and Tonga. But, you know, it was just such a good reminder. And so with this tune and writing is really regardless of circumstances, is, you know, gratitude, you know, doesn't have to do with, like Stale was saying, our circumstances, what we have or don't have, or what we're going through or not going through. It's really, you know, where our heart and mental state is at, and really being able to have that attitude and heart switch and mental switch of like, hey, you know what? We have so much to give thanks for. Even can take another breath, you know, because I've lost a lot of people, and even talking reggae, you know, just, you know, losing, you know, Family Man and Pizza this week, and, you know, so many others that, you know, just legends that that I grew up on and love. And you never know. And, you know, like Pizza, you know, he was a young man, you know, just, you know. And so for me is I just want to be grateful for life and really living in that place of not taking each moment for granted, regardless of what comes our way. But we have so much to give thanks for.
The tune comes off as very intuitive, man. It's you're not just hearing it, you're feeling it. And so I think the message, the vibe that you're talking about on here, I think that completely comes across, you know, from the speakers when you're listening to it. What's your next step? You talked about you've got some other tunes that you guys are working on. Are you jumping right into that? Or are you, because obviously you both, you know, to get you're together on this, but also separately, obviously you both have your own careers, you're doing your own thing. So what's the next step? Is it keep working together for a little bit, or is it kind of doing this, doing that?
You know, what's really cool is that I think we're learning that there's this process that's typically done, you know, about how you release a song. And then once you release it, you know, there seems to be like this, okay, we no longer promote, or the promotion and marketing, that's something that you usually do on a front end. What this song has done for Azato and I is we just kind of committed that this year we're going to really let this song be a song that can give us the ability to create content. So since we released the song, it's been so good. We both were in the same space, you know, a couple of months ago. So we just created a bunch of content where literally we're just giving thanks. We're giving thanks for people. We are giving thanks and just, you know, learning how to like utilize social media. I think you're seeing so many different people utilizing this platform to be able to sell their product or get their message out. And for us, we just said, man, I think sometimes we can be we can be a bit hesitant because, you know, just trying to really find a line of what does it look like to like promote self versus promoting message. And I think this song just gave us both kind of like an opportunity to say, hey, let's just really get comfortable being uncomfortable and releasing content. And the cool thing about it is that the content can be as simple as, hey, here's someone I'm thankful for today. Both of us created content around people that we're thankful for. We created content around things that we're thankful for. And we also created content, you know, about what are situations that we are now thankful for that were challenging. And so I think this song is so much more than here's a song and here's, you know, the music. I'm really excited to be able to explore just visual content and stories over the year. Of being able to really open up, what does, now that you have the song, what does that look like? And as artists, so much more than professionally producing this artwork, I think it's now it's like, okay, what does it actually look like in real time? And so, you know, a few weeks ago, Azato posted a picture that you had with Family Man. You know, the ability to like regularly give thanks on social media, I think it's going to be one thing. But I'll also say I'm really excited that we created a music video together. It's already done. It's ready. And we are really excited to release that. That'll probably be the next thing that we push. So I think we're kind of just giving ourselves, you know, this next year to really be able to let this song, you know, actually grow. And water it, not as much as just a song, but really be able to like what I hope goes viral is gratitude. How about you, Azato?
Yeah, I fully agree with that tune. Is really, you know, like Brother Jay was saying, you know, it's not you know, kind of like Bob says, who feels it knows it, you know, and it's like, you know, this isn't a song, you know, and I would say all of Isaiah Taimani's music in Minor Islands, and as well as Azato music, is coming from a deep place. It's nothing is superficial, you know, so it's really coming from that who feels it, knows it place, all of our music. But I mean, this song too is, you know, it's not about lifting us up, but lifting gratitude up and really, you know, changing that, you know, it's a lifestyle and a lifestyle choice. And so, that's a beautiful thing. As far as new music that we're working on, I have a new album dropping this year, Zato Bridges, Not Walls. And so I was really honored to have tons of features on there. Everyone from Kumar, from Raging Fire, and Luciano, and amazing artists. But Isaiah, I was really blessed. We got to do another track together, one of my tunes, Come My Way. So that will be dropping in a couple months. And that's Real Roots, you know, Stallion. And I have Isaiah Tamani featured, as well as a sister, incredible singer from the islands, Rhea Davis. So that's dropping soon, as well as in the next couple months too. We have a song we're just wrapping up that is going to be benefiting Maui. You've heard what's gone on in Maui and our islands about the fires, and you know, I have a lot of family and friends there that have lost everything. And so I created a tune called Shine Your Light. And so half of the funds are going to people in Malawi that were affected by Cyclone Freddy. That was terrible. It didn't get much coverage, but it was terrible almost a year ago now. And then everyone in Maui. And so that song is incredible. So I have Seiya featured on that too, but we have, you know, Samites on drums from Mike Love, and Amlak from Steel Pulse playing bass, and Imua Garza on our islands. And then we have Don Carlos horn section, and we have Irie Love and Kimi A. Minor and Isaiah Taimani and Trishna Lay, all these incredible artists, as well as the biggest reggae artist in Zimbabwe, Ras Karib, is on that too. And so can't wait to release. Those are two like Real Roots tracks, but have heavy messages too. And then we also are working on some new tunes as well that will be coming out with real similar to Give Thanks, as far as it'll just be the collaboration between Isaiah and Azato and Kristen Meek. So that's we're excited for those tracks as well. So as far as working together, it's we're just starting. So I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot to look forward to just in 2024 alone, man. So you guys got any tours coming up and stuff too?
You know, no tours off the top of my head. But I've been hosting these I actually curated this concert series here in the Bay Area. This will be my third year putting it together. So yeah, after years of just, you know, trying to tour and trying to, you know, follow whatever gig that was happening, I think you know, something that I've worked on over the past few years is this concert series called Live at the Asher, right here in Fremont in the Bay Area. And it's just been a really great space for me to be able to collaborate, bring other artists, and be able to continue to develop my craft, not just as a musician and a songwriter and a performer, but really being able to utilize this space for other artists to be able to get their reps in the form of community, you know, in the form of being able to collaborate in community. So it's been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing. And I think this year we've got you know, the apartment complex that I live in has partnered with me, and they sponsor the whole event. So this year we've really been able to level up, and just the artists that we're able to bring here to the rooftop. But that'll be my primary focus. There's a few festivals that are happening in the Bay Area, but I also work full time as a curator of the arts at two different communities. And, you know, besides that, I've really been trying to figure out what it looks like for me. How do I practice my craft closer to home? What does it look like for me to be able to create the kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, just I think the kind of flow, the annual flow where You know, I have a season where I would say where I'm at right now, where this is very much like a season where I'm in the studio and I'm creating and I'm collaborating, being able to utilize Zoom and technology to work with people, you know, all over the world. And then I'll say summer season has been kind of like the season where I really try to play as much as I can to perform. And then the fall, you know, that's usually for me an opportunity to kind of like transition, not just as a musician, but as a filmmaker as well too. So all the concerts that we've been doing on the rooftop, we film all of them professionally, and we provide all the artists with the multi-tracks, all the stems as well too. So I'm doing kind of like my own version of Tiny Desks on my rooftop. And I'm also launching a podcast as well too, just so I can continue to create space for artists to listen and to learn from one another. But yeah, as far as touring, I think my main focus is actually being able to bring people here rather than going to where they're at. And as far as going where they're at, I'm learning how to be able to do that utilizing technology and being able to stream all of the concerts that we do on a rooftop.
The Florida Groves Fest returns to Orlando, Florida, Saturday and Sunday, April 13th and 14th at the Central Florida Fairgrounds. Performances by Michael Franti and Spearhead, Milky Chance, Tribal Seeds, Atmosphere, 2 Feet, Boogie Trio, Manic Focus, and a whole lot more. The Tattoo and Cannabis Conventions return, along with Skateboarding Culture, Glass Blowing, and the new Shroom Street. For more information and tickets, it's floridagroves.com.
Azada, what do you got coming up for shows this year, man?
Yeah, we got a lot locally, and then a lot of opportunities both in, you know, in the, you know, mainland US as well as internationally. So we're being intentional with scheduling and everything of picking and choosing. So right now we're you know, there's a lot in the works, but we're going to update everybody and let us, you know, let everyone know where we'll be playing this year. But definitely excited to get some tours in. It'll probably be 2025 will be a big year for getting on the road, because we're releasing a lot of new music and just starting locally and probably as well as West Coast, and then kind of moving from there, because we got a lot of new music coming out, not just this year but behind that. So I'm excited to really promote that well and share it.
So it seems that a key point for both of you in your careers as musicians is serving others, serving people in your communities, serving people around the world. I want to know why this is so important to you. Why does it make such an impact on you to want to make an impact on other people? And Azada, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, it depends on what is important. And for me, I know, you know, service has been a huge part of my life ever since my late teens. And so is if I have an opportunity to lift somebody else up, you know, I'm gonna take that opportunity. And, you know, for me, is that's why even with my music, I don't use my given name. Is a nickname that was given to me, and so it's really about services, you know, because I teach part-time at a high school, and I coach surf team, you know, getting inner city kids that live in government housing projects and teach them how to swim and surf and connect to nature and just, you know, see the world is bigger than just the streets, and as well as work for a nonprofit and, you know, constantly serving. And so for me, that's just, it's really a huge part of who I am, like you're saying, in a lifestyle. And I would say why that's important is, I would say because, man, I know if there wasn't the people in my life that love me and poured into me, whether it's family and those standing on, you know, whether you talk about reggae music, if we talk about the music side, I think we always got to give honor and respect to those that came before us and who are we're standing on their shoulders musically, message wise, but also in my life, just my own family and people, mentors in my life that just, I know I wouldn't be who I am or where I am today without people that have really helped, you know, serve me and pull me up. So if I have the opportunity, those that are in a place where they can benefit, you know, I'm not going to hesitate, because, you know, life is not about money. It's not about, you know, just fame or success. It's about, hey, how can we as a people, you know, really lift each other up and grow together. And so that's on a community level is huge in the islands, and especially specifically Honolulu, where I live and work, but also wherever I am at, that's my heart. And so, yeah, I hope that answers your question.
That's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. Isaiah, what about you, man?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Azato. Simple answer. I watch my mom and dad. I watch, like, some people, you know, service is something you do, and then some people, like my mom and dad, is who they are. And I think the reason why I serve, going back to gratitude, I think it's the response. I really feel like true gratitude is not just a word, or you say thank you for serving me. I think when you know what it feels like to have a helping hand, when you know what it feels like to, when you're familiar with rock bottom, when you're familiar with need, then, man, like, you know what it's like. You know what it's like to have somebody serve you. And so there's so many different ways to serve, but just throughout my life, I can't help but think of so many heroes, modern day, you know, regular, you know, strangers sometimes, you know, that have served me, whether it was like something very, very tangible or a smile on a day that I didn't want to get out to bed, you know, like, service is just one of those things. Like, I think we need as human beings, you know, what does it look like for us to be human? I think it looks like loving ourselves and as we love each other, and the ability to walk alongside each other, provide support, even just being able to say, hey, I see you're hurting. Sometimes service is the ability to say, can I hurt with you? You know, it's active decisions. I'm going to join you in your suffering. And so I believe this from a very, very, like, philosophical standpoint, that, like, the ability to love is directly connected with our ability to suffer with. So service for me is the ability not just to help and to rescue and to lift people up, but I think it's the ability to hurt with people. And the only way you can do that is if you've had some real ones, some good friends step into your situation. You know, Azato has been one of those people in my life where service is actually just showing up. You know, so many people, like, they're like, man, I can't serve. I'm not available, or I can't, you know, I don't have money, or I don't have resources, or I don't have strength, you know. It's like, man, sometimes the greatest way we can serve each other is, like, presence, unanxious presence, and just being able to say, hey, how can I join you? How can I join you? How can I hold a space for you? You know, so for me, service is just one of those things. It's like, you can't say you love somebody, but, you know, you're not willing to serve, you know. So I think our ability to love is directly connected with our practice of service. Not just serving others, but to be served as well, allowing ourselves to receive care and to be served as well.
That's a beautiful way to put it, man. And yeah, it's like, we keep using this word service, but like you're saying, it's not really even that. It's just sometimes it's just basic empathy. It's just caring about people. It's just, if you care about other people, strangers, people halfway around the world, people you never met, if you care about people, it's not even service. It's just doing the right thing. And you don't even think of it as doing the right thing. It just comes naturally to you. Yeah. And I think hopefully what we're all heading towards as a goal for humanity is that once we all realize that the only thing that matters is people, then we'll get where we're going. Now, all the money and all the politics and all the other stuff that's dragging us down don't mean nothing. Nothing at all. Care about people, and good things happen for everyone.
Most definitely.
We're getting deep now.
I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing that, Jay.
Yeah. You get a bunch of spiritual people together, man. This is what happens. And I love that that consciousness comes across. You know, Azado, I've told you this before, man. I love that that spirituality, I love that that consciousness comes across through your music, man. You were talking before, I say, about, you know, promoting yourself, promoting the message. And I think what people need to realize about artists such as yourselves is that you are the message. You're not doing this and then you send out a message. That the message is that is so important to you that it is who you are. It's not even just part of who you are. It is who you are. And someone like me appreciates that and sees it and reads it and wants to know more about you, wants to hear more of your music in a way that, you know, I hate to say it, but some artists don't interest me as much because that's not coming across. They're not showing me who they are. Or if they are showing me who they are, it's not something that that interests me. So I appreciate what both of you are doing with your music. Got a couple more questions to ask you before we wrap this up, and I appreciate you being here with me. And I've asked Azado some tough questions before, I say, so now it's your turn. I always wrap up with a couple tough questions for an artist. Nothing too hard, but just, you know, I'm gonna put you on the spot and learn. Yeah. I learn a lot about you in these two questions. The first question I have to ask you: you are a creator of music, you are a performer of music. If you could only do one, which would it be?
I would say perform. Yeah, perform. Thank you for asking that question. When I'm creating, I would say that is my conversation with myself. That's my conversation with God. That is really kind of the outlet in which I'm able to organize my feelings, again, my thoughts. And, you know, a lot of times those songs and those thoughts actually never reach anyone else other than myself. But where I feel like I get to take the songs that make it from my journal to a band rehearsal and to the stage and being able to share with other people, that's where I feel like I'm in this process of taking my love, taking my peace, my joy, and I'm able to share it with the world. So I feel like that the ability to connect with other human beings that are, you know, a lot of the time strangers, and for a brief moment, my vulnerability being able to somehow like move us just a little bit closer to each other. That to me is like a very powerful experience that continues to remind me that we're always a lot closer than I think we think. It takes one person to be able to say, hey, I too know no heartbreak. I too know suffering. I too know insecurity. I too know doubt. I too have days where I don't want to wake up, you know? And I think when you share that even out loud in the form of a song, these thoughts that you had, you know, that were very intimate and private, it's crazy how healing and empowering and encouraging that can be when you share it with sometimes an audience of strangers, and just having people being able to come up to you afterwards and be able to say, hey, I just want to let you know you're not alone. When you were singing, I thought you were talking about me. Like, it's just one of those things that just like, oh, wow, this is a tool for connection. This whole thing, this whole process that I was kind of processing my own thoughts, my own story. When you share it, you realize like you're not alone. When you share it, you also have people come back to you and they're able to say, hey, I want to let you know, keep moving your feet because I was there last week and I kept moving my feet. You're going to be okay. Like, it's really fascinating how that kind of affirmation and encouragement can oftentimes come from strangers. So I just think that human connection, I think, is incredibly sacred as well, too. There's something very spiritual and powerful. Like when I went to One Love, I went to see Damon and Steven last week. And like in this arena, I not only felt like one with Damien and Steven and every person that was there, I felt one with Bob as well too. Like literally having his blood, singing these songs that he sung as well. Like there's something that was just like, it's different from you hearing it on a record, you know? So I think as much as I can always experience the spirit of Bob whenever I hear his music, when I was in that room, there's no way to replicate that experience of literally his children sharing with so much passion and excellence the message that their father wrote. It was just very, very, it continues to remind me of that importance, like, man, being able to take something that you created by yourself, and what does it look like now to use it to benefit the people?
That human connection, man, and that can't be replicated. And I there's this dilemma of touring and the carbon emissions from bands touring and things like that. I get it. But whenever someone brings up, well, maybe, you know, some kind of hologram thing, it's like, it's not going to replace human connection. We have to find a way to, you know, get to zero emissions, get to a much lower carbon footprint. But at the same time, like, we're humans, man. We need that connection. And everyone who's ever been to a concert can say something like what you just said there. It doesn't even matter what genre of music you're into. There's that connection that we get. To me, the biggest blessing of playing music, of getting to go somewhere and perform my music, is that I'm going to meet someone, several people, hopefully, that I've never met before, that I didn't even know I was going to meet that night. Yesterday, I didn't know you, man. Today, I was blessed to be able to get to know you a little bit on Talking Reggae, right? Like this, it's not replaceable. It's not replicable. And music being an art form, being communication. I always say music and food can save the world, man, because that's we're all, every culture, man, we're all so bound to that. So I appreciate your answer there. And the other question I have for you, I say, is if someone's not familiar with your music and they want to get familiar with your music, but they say, you know, I'm real busy. I only have time to hear one of your tunes to decide if I want to hear more. What's the one tune that you would say, yo, check this one out? This really embodies what I'm all about.
I mean, apart from the project that Azato and I did?
Yeah, let's say aside from that.
I'll say if there's another song that I could be kind of the intro is one of the first songs I released called Ja Make Ya. And so that song is available everywhere on all music platforms. But I think, you know, my style, it's not roots reggae. It's actually pretty eclectic. If you listen to my first studio record, you know, it's I would say it's a fusion of the music that I grew up here in the Bay Area, you know, reggae, gospel, funk, hip hop, soul, R&B, and gospel. All of these genres, I think, you know, being able to produce, engineer, create, compose, write this record without anyone telling me you need to stick to this box. This record was my opportunity to be able to celebrate every genre that raised me. And so I'll say that song specifically is kind of like the song that helps you understand what the whole journey is going to be. So my first studio record is called Closer to Home, and it's about this story of this prodigal son that leaves home, but ends up, after figuring out the hard way that everything that he was ever looking for was always back at home. So it's basically this hero's quest journey back home. And for me, it was the ability to kind of include not just a spiritual longing, but also my cultural longing as well, too. And so I think oftentimes, you know, I find myself never feeling American enough or Tongan enough here in this place that is supposed to be home. And so that whole record is kind of that journey. But I'll say Jamaica, everything about just that sound, hopefully there's a very distinct difference in this type of reggae that that came out of me, where there's some like 90s industrialized EQ drums that give it like a harder metal feel. There's some synths in, you know, that typically, you know, roots heads would be like, hey man, where's the horns at? It's like, well, I was experimenting with some, I mean, as an 80s baby, I just kind of went there. I was like, you know what, this is what I'm feeling. And so I tried to, you know, really experiment freely, you know, with this record to kind of celebrate, so many different genres. But I think message wise, you know, the question in this song is who make ya, Ja make ya. I am not the things I do. I am who I belong to. So the song is all about belonging. The song is about recognizing that you are not your accomplishments. You are not your failures. You are who you belong to. And if Ja make you and Ja make me, what does that make us? That makes us family. That makes us siblings. And my greatest title is not anything that I can do or that I'm a Tongan or I'm American. It's that I'm a child of Most High, and I believe you are too. So if we really believe this, it might actually affect like the way that we that we see, that we hear, and that we serve one another.
Ja, don't make mistakes. And if you feel that, then how can you not want to get along with everyone on the planet? Because then there's no division, there's no separation. Azar, yes. I'm not letting you off the hook though, man, because like the last time I asked you this question was a couple of years ago. I want to know if your answer has changed. If someone goes to check out Azado and you're like, yo, this is the tune to start with, what would you say?
Oh, that's a hard one. I thought I was off the hook. Nope, yeah. So... Oh man. Well, I have a tune that's dropping here soon. You know, it'll be out within the next month or two. So is that okay if I share that one?
Absolutely, man. This is
for you. it's called Disconnect to Connect. And so really with our, you know, our world that's so connected to technology, you know, that's supposed to connect each other, that it really disconnects us from each other. And so for me, you know, I would say that I love that tune because the message wise is talking about, you know, disconnect to connect. One, that we connect with, number one, with the Most High, that we connect with nature. We got to get outside of our, you know, it's crazy. Like growing up nowadays, yeah, it's punishment for kids to go outside. Us growing up, it was punishment to be inside, you know. So it's a little different world than growing up, you know. And so just being able to connect with God's creation, connecting with the Most High, and then with each other face to face. You know, you see people, they'll sit next to each other and they're on their devices and not even connecting, you know. And so that personal connection. So I think starting with that tune, you know, everything else kind of comes out of that same message, but different, you know, songs and message. But I think disconnect to connect, because that's my heart, that we, just like we're doing right now, we connect on a personal level, even though we're using technology. We have to, because we're in Hawaii, Florida, and California. But then we're connecting on a personal level, you know, that we're connecting with God, we're connecting with nature. And so, yeah, disconnect to connect.
Yeah. I don't know if there's ever been more of a double-edged sword than technology, the internet. And it's like, there's so much good about it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then there's so much that's just like, especially right now, that's just sowing the seeds of division. And it's like, man, like, why can't we just do this? Like, why can't we just keep the good parts and find a way to shed the negative stuff? But, you know, I think we'll get there eventually, man. I think we'll make it there, you know?
Yeah, and it, like I said, it's not all bad, but I think, you know, we definitely have to have some times where you take a break.
Yeah, well, like you said, man, we always used to be outside, and it's like, you know, I realized, I don't know, it's probably 10 years ago now, I realized, you know what, like, when you drive down the street, you don't have to watch out for kids anymore, because there's no one's outside, no one's playing this. That's all we were ever doing. Throwing a football on the street, whatever, you know, always. And now never, you never, ever see kids just out running around playing in the yard playing. It's like, man, like that's weird. That's strange. You know, it's strange if you grew up in a different time like I did, you know, it's a weird thing to see. Well, it's been excellent, excellent having the both of you here on Talking Reggae. The tune is called Give Thanks, and it's Isaiah Taimani and Minor Islands featuring Azado. I know you can hear it on Spotify. I know you got a video coming out for it, so that'll be on YouTube, so the tune is everywhere. But as we wrap up, please, and we'll start with you, Isaiah, please tell everyone where they can check you out, your socials, websites, all that stuff.
Yeah, first of all, thank you so much, Jay, just for the opportunity to be able to, you know, sit with you, get to know you a little bit as well, too, and share the work that we're doing. For me, it's real simple. The primary place that you can find my music right now is just on the music platform. So Isaiah Taimani plus Minor Islands. My social media is Isaiah Taimani, all one word. And yeah.
And right on. Azado, tell us where we can find you.
Simple too. So yeah, Azato Music. So AZATO Music. So whether it's azatomusic.com website or social media is just Azato Music. And I would like to, you know, just share my gratitude for you, Jay, your friendship over the last couple of years, getting to know you, and appreciate your music, your heart, and just creating space like Talking Reggae to have opportunity to really be real and talk not only music, but life and spirituality and struggle and everything. So beautiful. I really appreciate you, my friend.
Hey man, it's all my honor, and you're both welcome on the show anytime you want. You got something you want to promote, something you want to talk about together, separately, like whatever, it's all good. I'm always around. Thanks a lot for being on Talking Reggae, man. I really look forward to doing this again with each of you in the future. Thank you. One love, brothers.
Thank you so much, Jay. All right, one love. Peace.
Yes, up.
That sounded good.